so good to be with you this evening. This is going to be an important evening for all of us. I've come prepared to take us into a place that's so critical. If we want to create success in our lives, we're going to talk about a natural strength tonight, a natural strength which is often used very destructively, and see if I can serve you in more effectively using your gift so that you can receive inspired ideas that will ignite your passion and drive your focus and discipline, effort, and action. Before we get started tonight, we were talking about last week intrinsic validation, the connection with people. I had the privilege today to spend some time with a reporter from Reuters who wants to do a special article on intrinsic validation. Lou Carloso. Now, Lou and I are meeting on Thursday morning to do the interview. He read the book on the topic, and he said, "I just feel obligated to get this message out to the world." Very exciting. I do hope that each one of you had an experience stepping into someone's world, being a safe place, being safe in a safe place by listening and asking empathetic questions that would create that place where there's no more need for walls, and the walls can come down and deep and rich connections can be made. We were talking for a while on the phone this morning. He said, "Dave, other than intrinsic validation, what's another important topic that we'll want to discuss?" And so we had a few moments discussing what we're going to talk about tonight and why this is such a critical piece for us to become successful, because of the enormous number of people who have this gift to vividly visualize, and the overwhelming percentage of us who use it destructively. And he was talking about wanting to do eventually a column on these principles. Wouldn't that be fun? So our hats off to Lou for reading the book and calling and wanting to share more. Is there anyone on the call this evening, before we go into our next principle, who would like to share an experience they had this last week using intrinsic validation? Is there anyone who would like to share? I was talking to someone about this, our coaches, on Monday morning. We do a training every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. And we're talking about victimhood. I'll just share this with you. I shared that in intrinsic validation, all the steps we go through, that the single most challenging step is to take those things that are in our sack, those painful things, and choose to let go of fear and doubt and shame. And the last, which is the most difficult of all, this as an excuse for why we are not succeeding. I'm not succeeding because I've been through this or this happened to me. When we make the decision to use that experience to serve another person more effectively, we make, I believe, the single greatest decision in self-improvement. We shift from being inwardly focused to being outwardly focused. And that which keeps us inwardly focused are all our challenges and our frustrations and those things that have happened to us. And the thing that helps us be outwardly focused is just a different application. Instead of turning inward with those very things, we turn outward with those very things. So in essence, we've got this strength, which is all of our life experiences. These are our strengths. This is what's prepared us uniquely for this moment in time, if we're willing to stop turning inward and start turning outward, using those experiences differently, of having them burden us, using them as a blessing to serve another person. The second most important moment in self-improvement is an awareness moment. It's an awareness of where we go when we are by ourselves and our mind is freewheeling. This week, our homework assignment is going to become increasingly aware in private moments where we are at any given time. Especially those times when the day might be over or the pressure seems to be off for a moment. I'm just lying in bed. Where do I go? Do I spend that time spinning around in fear of what might happen, playing out worst-case scenarios? Just want to discover this week. Because we know that nothing good can come out of going there. Nothing. We lose sleep. We fill our body with cortisol. Our brain gets shut down. We are dysfunctional. We're not alert and prepared to create something different. So if we're going in those negative spaces, we'll want to know, because we'll want to stop that as quickly as we become aware. Whoa, not going there. Not going there. The other is, do I escape? Do I go to some time in the future, to a time when my problems have been resolved, and then start imagining what it'll be like after that? If I go into either one of these places, I know that I have set myself up for some very painful moments. When we talk about this quality number two, mental creation, we know that everything we create in tangible reality is first created in our mind. We are supposed to vividly visualize. We are supposed to think about the possibilities. We are supposed to explore all of the different contingencies. We are to go in the future and see the possibility. But there's a difference between going there to get clarity about what needs to be created versus going there to avoid the time we would spend in creation. We're going to take notes tonight. That's the first one you're going to want to take. The difference between going into the future to get a clear vision, or number one, to get a clear vision of what's possible and then what steps are required to actually create that, to make it come into fruition in our tangible world. This is part of creation. I've created it in my mind. I see it clearly. Now I'm going to come here and be driven by that vision. That vision is going to drive my focus and my discipline, my effort and my action. I'm going to work without counting the cost or tracking the time, doing whatever I have to do to create this intangible reality, whatever that requires. I saw it. I know it's possible. I'm going to go to work and create it. The vision gave me clarity and ignited my passion. And the passion then drives my actions in tangible reality. This is an extremely powerful use of this gift. Or am I going into the future and avoiding the very process of creation? I think this is a chance for us to answer the question this week. Now, it's not all or nothing, because anyone who has this gift of vivid visualization is going to vacillate back and forth. I have to be hypervigilant. If I'm not, I'll go into the future and I'll be tempted then to explore what's possible. And we know that none of that is possible unless this thing is first created. What do we do to get it created? This is where we are tonight. We're in mental creation. This is one of the most powerful, potentially powerful, and also destructive places of thought. In your assessment, it happens in the bottom right-hand side of your assessment. If you've got your assessment handy, please take a look at it for a moment. Because this is where all of the thinking about thinking occurs. Self-direction. What's my motivation? Am I driven by want to and get to and choose to? Or am I driven by have to, should, and must? Want to, get to, choose to is balanced. Have do, should, and must, obligation, even fear of consequences if I don't do it, is orange and red. You start to feel that one. Honorable is all about how do I think about my own personal performance? Am I focused on excellence? Do I have a realistic understanding of what I can create and how much I can create? Or am I focused on perfection, an unrelenting, unyielding pursuit of the unachievable? No matter what I do, it's never good enough. Is that the thought process I'm going to bring into creation? Always being discouraged, always feeling overwhelmed. Goal-oriented, the purest of the thought processes on vivid visualization. Am I going to use this thought process to engage in catastrophe or fantasy? Or am I going to use it constructively to get a clear vision that ignites my passion? Coachable. Am I open to new ideas that will add value to my life? And that could be as simple as, am I willing to consciously change the way I've been thinking and using this gift of vivid visualization? Am I open to that? Or am I so attached to it that I'm unwilling? I just want to find a way to keep fantasizing and have the universe magically manifest that which I see so vividly in my mind. Vivid visualization is essential to creation. Escape and avoid fantasy will never create tangible reality. Coachable. Pragmatic. When I sit here in the now and I think about where I'd like to be, can I see all of the steps and allocate my time in my mind? Can I see how I can be practical, pragmatic in the creation of? Or am I just absolutely overwhelmed by everything that needs to be done to get back to where I used to be or to get where I want to be? Am I just overwhelmed? That's orange. And resolute. How committed am I to this process? How committed am I to my relationships? How committed am I to my spiritual beliefs? How committed am I to my financial goals, my business goals? How committed am I? If this is orange, sometimes even red, it just says I'm not committed. I might be fearful. I might be sitting in a situation based on my age where I go, you know, I can't afford to make another mistake. I don't know which direction to go. I just know it can't be the wrong one. And so trying to avoid the wrong one, I don't make any of them. Because this part of our mind is all nothing, right, wrong, win, lose. We'll want to just get into action, make a choice, jump in, and then amend as you go. But we'll want to be in action because nothing's going to happen till we finally dive in. So if resolute's got an orange or red, just take a look at that. Because these are the thought processes I'm going to bring into creation. If all of these are out of balance, I'm in obligation and fear of consequences, and I've got to do it perfectly, and I just want to escape it because it's painful, and I don't want to change anything because I'm just so used to doing this, and I'm just overwhelmed by it all, and I don't know which direction to go. What's the likelihood if that is our mindset, or any piece of that is our mindset, that we're actually going to create something? One, we're going to get the vision in the first place that'll ignite our passion. And two, will we actually do the work of creation? That's why this is so critical. This is like the melting pot. This is the catalyst. This is the oven. This is the stove that heats the house. This is where it happens. This is where it all begins. This is like the bread basket almost. This is where everything begins in your assessment. Because what happens here determines how much you find, how much joy you find in creation and in your life, how you feel about yourself, whether you have any energy to focus on other people, whether you're going to be doing tasks and being patient, or whether you're going to be passionate, whether you'll be disciplined and structured. Everything starts right here where we are tonight. That's why this area is so critical. So just take a look at this. Just ask yourself, how have I been using this? Is it serving me? Because it's not. It just creates such overwhelm, such angst, that lightning bolt in the gut. If you're fearing that, feeling that, that fear, that anxiety, that overwhelm, that just, it's too much. It starts right here. This is where it's coming from. Now, there may be circumstances in your life that aren't pleasant, that add to it. But when these start getting active, they make everything worse. Everything worse. So tonight we're going to spend our time not on fantasy and catastrophe. We've spent so much time talking about those. You know, we don't want to go in the future and then start living beyond or playing out worst-case scenarios. We know that doesn't work. I want to spend our time tonight on the constructive things we can do to use our mind in a way that we'll get those inspired ideas and impressions. So, taking your notes, the next note you're going to want to make is everything in this area depends on my intention, my real why. My real why. What is my real why? I've heard all the platitudes of someone standing on stage. My why is my children. My why is my spouse. My why is, you know, whatever it might be. Where you find your why is in those quiet moments of your life. What is your why? Your secret desire. Secret desire. Now, that doesn't make it salacious or immoral. It's just, what is your secret desire? I have found as I've spent time deep in people's assessments and lives that quite often, because of the pain they've experienced in their life, they just want it to be easy. Just want it to be easier. Oh, I'm running out of time, running out of energy. When is this going to be easier? And so the thought processes are all around catastrophe that could make it worse, or fantasy in which I skip my current pain. Everybody got that? Catastrophe in which I make it even worse, or fantasy in which I'm attempting to skip past my current pain. Life is what it is. It is what it is. So we want to take a look at what is our secret desire, our real intention. That's our why. That's our real why. And our real why is what drives our actions. It drives the frustration. It drives the overwhelm. It drives the obligation. It drives the escape. It drives the impatience when we get to joy in the journey. It drives the frenetic, non-goal-directed activity. It drives the anger we have with life. It drives our impatience with people. It drives our focus on money. It drives it all. Our why drives it all. So if we're going to make a shift in how we're using this gift, this ability to vividly visualize, we'll want to start by becoming aware of and perhaps even changing our why. Does everybody have that? Just write down, what's my why? Most of the time, we think in terms of dreams and hopes and all that kind of stuff. Now, our real why is where our mind goes. That's our real why. That's our secret desire. To buy that tropical island, get away from annoying people, to finally be above it all, not have to deal with that hassle anymore, not have to go to work, and whatever that might be. Those are just some of the examples. May not be yours at all. But we want to find out what that is, because that's driving it all. When we find it, we're going to want to explore the principles on which mental creation are based. Because we want to bring our why into alignment with the principles that govern mental creation. I'm going to give them to you tonight. Because escape and avoid fantasy is not one of them. Catastrophe is not one of them. A desire for ease is not one of them. In fact, the desire for ease is an absolute affront to mental creation and all the powers involved in it, all the principles and practices and processes. It's a violation. It's a violation of mental creation. So here are the basic principles on which mental creation is based. And when we follow these principles, then everything else will work. At first, it may be a little hard because it isn't what we've wanted. But when we realize wanting ease, we'll never create it because there's no such place. No such place. We can create a self-fulfilling prophecy about worst-case scenarios by spending so much time there that they eventually do happen. That can be real. But ease doesn't exist. It's not on the planet. Not on this one. So here are the principles. Just write these down if you would. Number one, the principles of mental creation. Principle number one, a burning desire to, number one, engage in life. What that means is that I take on the obstacles as they come. I realize that some of the experiences are there to prepare me to do things better another time. I engage. I want to be alive. I want to live. That's number one. Number two, I'm going to embrace principles of success. And the number one principle that we want to embrace is that our focus will want to be outward. That's why we did connection first. I thought for a long time about maybe doing this particular quality first. I said, no, we need to learn the importance of shifting from ourself to others. The number one principle, Og called it the greatest principle of success in all ventures. Love. Focusing outward. So that's the principle we want to embrace. Outward focus. So number three, with that outward focus, we want to connect with and serve others. This is our burning desire. Now, it may not be burning at first. It truly may not be. And the more that it burns in our soul, the more desire we find, the greater the inspired thoughts will be, the more passion will be ignited. Because this is a principle. So number one, engage in life. Two, embrace the principle of being outward in our focus. Three, now that we're outward, connect with and serve. Number four, we're going to create value everywhere we go and with everyone we meet. If that's our intention, it will drive our vivid visualization to see what can I do in preparation for that Thursday night meeting? What can I do in preparation for that family reunion? What can I do in preparation for that date with my committed companion? What could I do? Because we want to create value everywhere we go and with everyone we meet. Every time we get on the phone call with a client or a prospect, we want to create value. That's number four. Number five, we want to contribute to the world. We want to contribute to the world. Our purpose for accumulating wealth, we want nice things, there's no question. There's nothing wrong with nice things. But we're not about our nice things. And the clue will be, do we share them? Do we share them openly? Do we give when we find somebody in need? Will we contribute to the world? So many people say, when I'm wealthy, I'll contribute. Because I always ask, what do you donate now? You go to a church, what do you donate to your church? Oh, $20 on Sunday. $20. Interesting. You make how much? $100,000. So you give them $1,000. That's all I can afford. But when I make $1 million, I'll give them $100,000. No, you won't. No, you won't. Because our wants will always outstrip our income. We learn how to give when we have very little, and we will always be contributing. Now, it's not just money. It can be our time, our energy, our insight, our vision, community service. we're contributing. We want the world to be a better place because we were here. In the book I wrote, Today I Begin a New Life, we want to make a footprint on this planet. Footprints that others will follow, will want to follow. So those are the five principles of mental creation. If this becomes our why, I want to engage in life, take it on. Principle of outward focus. Connecting and serving. Creating value everywhere we go with everyone we meet. And contributing to the world where there can be some great visions around each one of those. And contributing to the world, we start with our own family, our own home. That's part of the world. We work our way out from there. This becomes our secret desire, our real intention. Our real intention. When that's present, we're ready to go into mental creation. So this week, we want to get real about what has been our real intention. Has it been those five things, really? Because when we have a few moments to be by ourselves, where do we actually go? Do we go into fear? Do we go into fantasy? Where have we been going? Because if you stay in these five places, you'll live by faith. You'll have such a connection. You'll be so plugged into the planet, there's no place for fear. You're just engaged. It gets tough, you just get going. We're always outwardly focused, always focused on connection, creating value, contributing. So that's the secret. I just gave it to you. When these are our intentions, the prayer of our heart. Now, that doesn't need to be a spiritual connotation. It is to me. But the prayer of our heart is, I'll give you the three phrases. What can I create? That's number one. Number two, because we just got shown in our mind, vivid visualization. I just came. Wow, that'd be cool. So the second question is, how do I create that? Next idea. Wow. How will that serve? So what can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve? I had that experience yesterday, consulting with a company. Been reading a book they asked me to read. That morning I had this impression. I started writing something so out of the space we've ever talked about. Met in a Google Hangout with the CEO of the company. And turned out he was focusing on exactly the same, not exactly, but a similar idea in the same space. We brought them together. We're able to create something magnificent. We were both outside of everything we've discussed, but in the same room. When our intentions are, what can I create? How can I create that? How will I serve? And you want to engage in life, embrace principles, connect, serve, create value, and contribute to the world. You're plugged into a planet. You get downloads beyond you. That's when life starts to get very fascinating. We start to get the downloads. The downloads come, next section. Downloads come in the way of inspired ideas. That's number one. That's right, downloads, inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to challenges. Most of the time it will be an impression. And it's so important that we listen to these impressions and that we act on them. In the observer's chair, the very last page before we go into the epilogue, says, when I'm sitting in the observer's chair, being my true self, free from the noise of my unhealthy habits of thinking and the burdens of the past, I use my gift of vivid visualization to hear inspired whispers and see visions of possibilities. Those are impressions. My passion is ignited. I trust my intuition and act immediately on those whispers and visions as if they were urgent assignments. I discuss discover the validity of each, and in doing so, I trust and am trusted. I know and am known. And this knowingness is the single greatest source for healing my self-esteem. I promised you 2 weeks ago that everything we would discuss over the next several weeks would be focused on healing self-esteem. When our intentions, our secret desire, are in alignment with those five principles, our private prayer is, what can I create? How can I create? How will that serve? When we're in that space, we start to have those downloads in terms of ideas, impressions, and solutions to challenges. Then we act on them as if they're urgent assignments. And the validity of each begins to come to the surface. That knowingness, wow, I followed these principles. I got this idea and acted on it, and it was accurate, and it was beyond me to know. Wow, I know and am known. I trust and am trusted. And when we practice these principles, we will be entrusted with ever-increasing higher levels of responsibility. Remember, we talked about earlier that we want to acquire ability to handle ever-increasing levels of stress with ever-increasing levels of ability. This responsibility is part and parcel of becoming abundant in every part of our life, spiritually, financially, physically. We get entrusted with greater and greater responsibility. And we're capable of handling it because we have become the person who could. Now, in my office, I'm looking out the window, and everything to the right is where I'm pointing. I go to the left in my office, and up there is fantasy, and down there is catastrophe. They have places in this room. Let's visually, in your life, create a place where you can see these pieces. Look to your left up at the roof and say, there, the ceiling, there is fantasy. I'm not going to go there. Down there is that black hole that just sucks me down in that dark dungeon of despair and discouragement. Not going there. I'm going to stay over here on the right-hand side. I'm going to start to adopt these five principles of mental creation. My private prayer, what I create, how do I create, how I serve. The downloads will be impressions, ideas, impressions, and solutions to challenges. Now, we have five specific ways to help us do this. But when I teach you the five constructive ways of thinking, it's for this purpose. Create a new secret desire and real intention, a new private prayer, and start receiving the inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to challenges. Now, before we go into the five ways to create these impressions, does anybody have a question about where we are right now? Does everybody understand the sequence? Am I painting that clear enough for you tonight? This is your participation moment.
Hi,
is this
David.
Clear enough so far? Hi, Beth.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hi. It's clear, thank you. Clearer than it has been before, so I like the sequence. Or I'm getting the sequence.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So now we understand. We want this secret desire, this private prayer, and this is what we're going to receive. The easiest and simplest way to get to this space is to practice what we call inspiration. Just write down the word inspiration. Inspire means to breathe life into someone. That's what the word means. So to receive inspiration is receiving ways in which we can breathe life into someone. I'm seeking inspiration. Write down the phrase. You all know this phrase. You've heard it before in our coaching, privately and otherwise. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path, and I will serve them. If there is anyone I can serve, put them on my path, and I will serve them. And B, being in this space, stay in the space. We may meet them when we're walking around. We may think about them. A name will just come into our mind, a thought. And we're going to want to follow those. Remember, we get ever-increasing levels of responsibility and reward. Abundance is not something we seek to receive. It's not something we seek to win. It's a sacred process in which we actively participate and eventually become. We get the inspired idea, we act on it. We get a bigger one, act on it, bigger one, act on it. They're not all big, but when we can be trusted to act, we will receive the inspired idea. Somebody's name. Call them, serve them. It's not a waste of time. It wouldn't hurt if we spent an hour or two a day in this space. It would be time well spent. Not only the blessing we give to that person we serve, but to the very source of the inspiration to begin with. Inspiration. Number two, mental rehearsal. And it absolutely says it all in the name. In my mind, I'm going to rehearse something. In the book, Primal Leadership, Dan Goldman talks about Laura Wilkinson, who broke her toe before the 2000 Olympics and stood on the 2000 Olympics, stood on the 3-meter platform board and visualized her dive over and over again. She visualized it with such intention that she was creating muscle memory from something she was doing in her mind. She couldn't dive until the actual Olympics started. And the story is, everybody knows, she won the gold medal, which is almost impossible when you can't dive for a number of weeks. These are finely tuned athletes. We teach basketball players to shoot baskets in their mind, and it improves their percentages. We ask network marketers to practice cold calls to prospects in their mind, and their fear starts to get mitigated. It starts to go away, and they have more and more ease in a phone conversation. We ask someone to mentally rehearse a meeting they've got coming up or a speech they're going to give, and in the visualization of the speech, they realize, wow, I'm after a standing ovation. That's not what I want. What I want is to reach hearts and souls. I want to create something that serves. What can I create? How can I create that? How would that serve? And we begin to think differently about our desire to create value and to connect and to contribute. And our speech takes on a whole different flavor of depth and power. That's all mental rehearsal is. We're going into the future, generally something that's short-term, in the next month or so, at the longest. And quite often something that's coming up later in the day, later in the week, maybe later in the month, that we're mentally rehearsing in preparation for. And just surrendering to the event and just being there. This is Sunday afternoon in Dallas. Vividly visualizing talking to the SMU football team the next morning. And Lee Steinberg gets introduced to speak. Lee's not going to be there. So I talked to June Jones about it later that night on the way to the SMU banquet. I asked him if it's okay if I invite him, and he said, yes. So I invite him, and Lee says, what do I say? And I said, I don't know, but I'll know when to call on you, and you'll know what to say. Are you okay with that? And he said, I'd love that. And at the perfect moment, I did, and he shared something that moved those 65 scholarship athletes on the SMU football team and cemented just a tender relationship between the two of us. This amazing human being. Gosh, I want to tell you more because it's really fun. Tomorrow I'm talking to the Detroit Lions. crazy things happening. But they happen because of a mental rehearsal. And with a desire to change these boys' lives, what could I do to touch them? What could I say? And Lee shows up. And everything about what I'm doing is being shifted because of that one mental rehearsal, trusting it and acting on it. We all have them. We may not be as in tune to them, and that's why we want to keep practicing mental rehearsal and trusting the impressions and acting on them. It had been easy to say, well, I don't want to give somebody else some of my time. This is my time to talk to these boys. I've been doing assessments with them, and you know, let's connect. No. You could feel the power and the importance of him participating. I didn't know why. I just knew it was supposed to be. No ulterior motive, no desire for revenue, nothing. Now look at what's happened. What's happened? It's incredible. We want to live in this space. Because what would happen if on that Sunday afternoon I'd have been in catastrophe? Oh, I've been away from home for 3 days, and I need to get back to the office, and I'm going to spend time tomorrow, and la, 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 la. Or I was in fantasy. I'm going to talk to these boys. They're going to stand up, and they're going to praise me and think I'm the coolest guy in the world. What would have happened if we'd have been there in fantasy? I'll talk to SMU, then I'll talk to UCLA, then USC, and then Notre Dame, and I'll be the greatest, coolest coach in the world. What would have happened? What would have happened? Because every one of us have this gift to one degree or another. And 98% to an absolute mathematical certainty use it destructively. Are you one of those? Because if you are, tonight's the night to start making this shift. It won't happen instantly. You want to keep making it and keep making it and keep making it. And every time you find yourself in discouragement and frustration and overwhelm, you'll start asking yourself what I ask myself. Where have you been in the last 12 hours with your mind? Where did you go? And I go, crap. I went to Nike's endorsed us. They're paying for all the schools and da-da-da. You know, none of that matters if we're not paying attention to the millimeters of creation. I can do that. And I pay the same price you pay when I do. When I go into fantasy beyond the mark and start living what it would be like then, the next day, cortisol surge, fear dendrites, brain shutting down, memory center, anxious, frustrated, overwhelmed, discouraged, just like you. So when you feel that, just get honest. Where have I been in the last 12 hours? Oh, crap, last night when I was going to bed, I was laying there thinking about what it's going to be like when. I won't do that again. Next time, I'll spend time in mental rehearsal. I'll spend time in inspiration. I'll be acting on things that matter in the moment. All those things are in the future. They just happen to be within the immediate future. Have we got this so far? Mental rehearsal, inspiration. Number three. Exploration. This is an enormous gift to explore possibilities before we make tangible commitments. Some people make really bad mistakes because they don't think through things, but it's not because they haven't got the ability to think through them. They're just using that gift destructively. They're spending time in catastrophe. They're spending time in fantasy. If they disciplined it to spend it in exploration, they would think through those problems without making those mistakes. We would walk through and see every possibility in something. Does it take effort at first? Yes. Is it painful at first? Probably so. We're so used to fantasy and that norepinephrine surge, that powerful euphoric drug, and we're addicted to it. Over here, we don't get that norepinephrine rush. What we get is a quiet, inspired idea or impression. Ignites our passion. We act on it. We create it. And the joy we get from having a real thing in our life outweighs any artificial form of joy, a counterfeit form of joy that norepinephrine creates. But there might be a time of discipline. Hard hard to think through all those things. It's easy to drive that Ferrari around town in our mind or live in that luxury home or have all our debts paid off and all our problems solved. It might take effort at first to explore possibilities. In time, it will become so easy and effortless and so rewarding to spend time in exploration. For an example, you want to place an ad in Craigslist. Start thinking through it. You want to write a paper or a blog post. And so you start thinking through it, and you consider possibilities before you ever publish it. And it becomes magnificent. This is a form of creativity, and all creativity is the constructive application of your vivid visualization. That's all it is. People say, well, I'm just not creative. And I say, no, that's not true. You just choose to use the muscle that drives creation destructively. That's all. Bring it over here. Use it over here. In number three, exploration. Number four, problem solving. This thought process is built to be obsessive. It won't stop until it's fixed. When there is a problem, the world is on tilt. And it won't stop thinking. Some of you have been obsessively catastrophizing negatively. You know, all the worst case scenarios. Don't stay there. Not going there today. Pull out your tomahawk. Not going there today. I'm going to go look at the possibilities. There is a solution to this. There is a solution. I'm going to go find the solution. I'm not going to wallow in the possibilities of destruction. I'm going to find a solution. It's going to be as good as it can possibly be every time. That's problem solving. Now imagine if every time we wanted to go into fantasy or catastrophe, we chose one of those four ways of thinking. Inspiration, mental creation, mental rehearsal, exploration, problem solving. The fifth one is long-term visualization. It's called goal setting. It's going into age 85 in a relationship and imagining what it would be like. And then coming back and every day, every week, every month, every quarter, every year, doing the things that would intentionally create that outcome. It's having a vision that drives that kind phrase, biting the tongue when you want to say something, fixing somebody when it won't really serve them. We don't do it because we want that. That's what we want. In our business, we make income goals, because you always do in a business. But we convert it to people. How many lives will I need to change in a year? Dividing that by 52 weeks, so many lives. I got the most detailed goal setting plan from a client this morning who took his financial goals. This is in the book. It's in the material as well, in the Intentional Creation Studio. Created the financial goal, converted the number of people, worked it backwards to every activity that needed to be done on a daily basis to create that outcome. So once he knew how much money he wanted to make, converted it to the number of people he wants to change, every action was about impacting a life. Every action was about impacting a life. I have no doubt he'll meet his financial goal, because if he does what he has on his plan for people, the money will be there, be the natural outcome. This is how we use our vivid visualization long term. We're supposed to go see the house we'd like to have. Then we work backwards what it's going to take. Well, we can get terribly discouraged when we want to buy a $5 million house and it's going to take a $2 million down payment. We start thinking about what we got to create. Oh, my goodness, we got to generate $100,000 a day. Well, then maybe we shouldn't be spending our time thinking about a $5 million house. They don't magically manifest. They're intentionally created. Whatever it is we're going to spend our time in the future thinking about, you're going to put it on your dream board. That's a target. That's where I'm headed. And now I'm focusing on every step, the millimeters between here and there, and I am intentionally creating them. I get an inspired idea, I act on it. I get an inspired impression, I act on it. Everything is directing me closer and closer to that dream. And one day I wake up and I'm there, and I got there as fast as is humanly possible. Divinely inspired along the route. I'm learning how to create. Too many people spend their time living in that $5 million house and don't make a phone call. Don't send out an email. And what time they spend is busy, 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 busy work. That's craziness. All we're doing is setting ourselves up for a norepinephrine rush and a cortisol-driven depression. That's all we're setting ourselves up for. So goal setting is going in the future and getting clear, whether it's a material thing, a spiritual thing, whatever it might be, and then coming back, working our way back, okay? This is what I need to do every day, every week, every month, and we start executing on those pieces. And we keep our eye on the goal above our head and ignore the obstacles at our feet. We're going to engage in life. We're going to take them on. It's part of life. They're not trying to keep us from our dreams. It's just how, that's just life. So we deal with life along the way, and we gain greater and greater experience and acquire more and more ability, handle ever-increasing levels of stress and ever-increasing levels of ease. That's how vivid visualization is used long-term. It's truly goal setting. Long-term vivid visualization. Short-term is mental rehearsal. Long-term is goal setting. If we could discipline our minds to focus on these five principles of mental creation, the private prayer, what I can create, how can I create, how will that serve, and every inspired idea and impression we acted on, we would speed up creation as fast as is humanly possible. That's mental creation. We choose to do this. It drives and textures. That's texture to our physical reality. We're no longer frustrated by what we don't have. We spend all the time present in the now creating the millimeters to make it possible. We continue to get inspired ideas. We're going to talk about this next week. Living in the now in passion-driven action. But to get there, we're going to want to focus on getting that stuff out of our sack. Stop being inwardly focused and turn outward. And then start disciplining our mind by changing our real intention, our secret desire, the prayer in our heart, and acting on those impressions. I hope tonight was helpful. It's a little different than how we've talked about this in the past. Hopefully the context, the foundation will serve you in seeing the pieces. Don't be overwhelmed by them. You didn't get where you are overnight. Just know that where you are is a result of how you've used this gift. If you don't like where you are, then take a look at your coaching measurement. If it says, I'm not really open, say, well, how has that been serving me? I'm going to be open. I'm going to make this shift. Because I don't like this that I've created. I'd like to create something different. And we begin the process. And it will be a process. It's a powerful, powerful gift. But every time we get an inspired idea and act on it, and it's proven to be inspired, it breathes life into us. It heals our self-esteem. Well, any closing comments from anyone before we wrap up tonight? Anybody have an aha tonight?
Dave?
Yes.
Hello. Dave, this is Diana in St. Louis.
Hi, Diana.
Well,
how are you?
I'm from St. Louis, but I'm actually in Florida right now. Part business and part vacation. Thank you so much for everything tonight. It's fantastic to have a slightly different process. I had a situation this week where I had gone through the creation process. I had a really good friend who has a very serious health challenge, and he was told that he was going to lose his leg. And he's panicking about it. And I was in a position where I could help him to not panic and to think it out and to realize that there were a whole lot of more possibilities that he hadn't thought of yet, because he was just taking one doctor's opinion and didn't even look at, you know, want to look in or hadn't thought about holistic approaches. And so anyway, I got up to two different thought processes that helped him come around. And then the third one, I was stumped and nothing came to me. And I guess what I was wanting to say is that I got the impression that I needed to reach out and ask for help. And so I called another friend of mine who is excellent in communications, and he was able to give me some ideas of which I was able to translate those into a way that my friend who was possibly going to lose his leg could relate to. And it worked like a charm. I mean, it was a miracle. It was unbelievable. But I followed the creation process right down to the end. And he's gonna open his mind and seek holistic opinions. And it was just amazing. I didn't think I had it in me.
Would you please report back to us what the result of this is? Wouldn't it be? It doesn't hurt for us to imagine possibilities. Wouldn't it be interesting if you saved his leg?
I'm hoping that that's the case. He's also homeless, and he's in a VA hospital in Indiana. And I was able to find a doctor who was willing to treat him for free, or at least try to treat him and look at his situation. And it's a new type of treatment. It's something that not even normal chiropractors know about. It has to do with the nerves. And, I will share what the outcome is of this. And it's in his hands right now. He has to make the appointment. I mean, he's got to show up for the appointment. But I opened his mind, and I thought it was, I thought it was completely and totally shut down.
And you opened his because you opened yours.
Because I was so passionate and so sure that there were other possibilities. And I wanted to show him and help him realize that there was still a chance that his leg could be saved. And he was on a cortisol depression about it. And I mean, this man used to be a PGA golf pro. He's played collegiate basketball. He's got a master's degree in computer science. He's an architect. I mean, he's lived a big life. And he thought his life was pretty much over because of this, and he doesn't have money and, the whole scenario. And so he was just going down the, dark place of the tunnel. And I helped him to realize that he's got to take control of his emotions, and he's to open his mind. And I can't think of everything exactly the way I presented it to him, but I did it as short as I could. I had to do it on email because he doesn't have a phone anymore. And I kept it all just as short and as clear and as succinct as I possibly could. And I mean, I was just amazed at how it was all, it all fell into place, and his mind just opened like a lotus flower. I mean, it was unbelievable.
I hope everybody listening tonight is smiling. And you've described so beautifully exploring possibilities, problem solving. There's a solution out there if we just keep looking.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine how our lives would be different if we always went to this place? The phrase that I'd like to close with tonight is that whenever we're tempted to go into frustration or discouragement or fantasy, that we say, no, I'm staying in creation. Stan, that's what you've expressed tonight. You stayed in creation in spite of all of the possible. Yes, there were horrible things, legs being cut off, there's a disease, yeah, that's all true. But I'm staying in creation. And you watch the possibilities unfold. Thank you. That was a beautiful way to wrap up our evening. Everybody take that one home with you and see how many times this week you're faced with a metaphor of having your leg cut off. You say, no, I'm not going to accept that. I'm staying in creation. And let's see how many inspired ideas we can get this week amongst this group. And let us come back next Tuesday night and share some of those moments where we had inspired ideas. Wouldn't that be a fun way to start next Tuesday night? What inspired ideas came to me because I stayed in creation. Until rehearsal, inspiration, exploration, problem solving, planning, goal setting. I chose to stay here. And I got inspired ideas and I acted on them. I called this doctor. I did this. And all of a sudden there's other possibilities. And the beautiful thing is that when it's all said and done, is if this man needs to still have his leg cut off, he can know that every other option was explored. It's
exactly
as good as it can be. It's as good as it can be. But if we spend our time in catastrophe, we will never know. Never know. And if we could do this for 200 days, what we would know is 200 days from now, no matter what our current circumstances are, it is as good as it can be. Because we don't do this alone. When we spend time in this space using our gift this way, we are partnering with a power greater than ourselves. We're plugging into this planet. They are inspired ideas, and why they light up part of our brain, which is normally dormant. If you're wired to a functional MRI, and one of these inspired ideas comes into your mind, there are parts of your brain that very literally light up that are normally dormant in a human being. Why does that happen? I think it's the source of the inspired idea. And you only tap that source by having those five secret desires I've shared with you in that private prayer. That's what taps that source. You are playing in that playground. Catastrophe is not in that playground. Fantasy, trying to avoid stretching and growing and becoming, it's not in that playground. Those are all an affront to the very principles that govern creation. Stay in creation. So this, everybody mark those phrases, that phrase. Nope, not going there. I'm staying in creation. Well, thanks, everyone. Thanks for sharing. That was awesome. And everybody have a wonderful week. Let's make this the very best week of our life. And come back next Tuesday night and share some of those inspired ideas that came, even in those darkest hours, because you chose to stay in creation. Come off of mute, if you would. And please say goodnight so I can hear your voices. Just come off of mute and just say goodnight, please.
Good night, Dave.
Good night.
Good night, Dave.
Good night. Thank you. Please come back prepared next week to share some of those moments. Live these principles. Come back ready. We'll see you next Tuesday. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.